from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
All right, well, that number is changing. We got a new donation total couple hours in on day number two. And you have now given this year over $1.3 million. So we're getting close when it comes to that match, but the next 2 hours have got to be huge hours. So yesterday, Rob Hale, who is on the show from time to time, listener of this show, and one of the most generous people that there is in the world, the founder of Granite Telecommunications down in Quincy.
And my man to be the next Celtics governor.
Curtis's pick as next Celtics governor, same. Offered a match of $775,000 if this show is able to get to that when it comes to donations over 2 days. So we are now at $1,322,667. Thank you so much for that. But we are sitting here with a couple hours left in the show, somehow needing to raise $237,380.
So we can do it.
Can we do it?
Yeah, we can do it.
2 hours? We can do it?
We can do it. Can I make a quick note before we get to the news?
Very quick.
Sam Kennedy was on yesterday, and you were doing you were like a bulldog these days.
Oh.
You are a journalist, Big J.
Thank you.
The Herald should hire you to cover the Red Sox.
I think bullet is rubbing off on me.
Oof, yeah, you're shooting bullets.
I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm bleeding this morning still from an errant jump up of bullet last night upon my arrival home.
None of my business, Wiggy, but...
Yeah. but anyway, yes.
Well, isn't it easy to just say, no, we have no interest in it? Instead of saying, why are you asking?
yes, it would be. It would be interesting. He could say that.
Right. I think that was a...
So you think they have interest?
Of course.
Yeah, of course they do.
Yeah.
I mean, they're smart businessmen. Why would you not want to have...
Well, you want them to own it. It's bizarre to me.
I listen.
The best sweatshirt investment in the history of apparel.
I can care less who owns it. You know, whether it's Bezos, whether it's Rob Hale, whether it's John Henry, I can care less. You know, it's all about having an owner that wants to come in and invest into a team and an organization, try to build a new arena.
Well, it's somebody's going to own it.
I mean,
it's a $4.5 or $5 billion asset.
Right.
So I don't think you have to worry about that.
Right.
The question becomes... And you only have past history when you're dealing with somebody like the Fenway Sports Group, you only have you have their past history to judge.
Right.
So the question becomes when it comes to being stewards of the Boston Celtics going forward,
mm-hmm.
who do you think makes the most sense when it comes to the things that are important to you? And I don't think anybody who buys that franchise is going to come in here and suggest that they need to, you know, they need to redline the budget and get rid of Jason Tatum. I think that there are things that somebody who has invested locally, and the Fenway Sports Group has invested locally. I just think they have a lot on their plate.
Yeah,
I said that the other day. It's appropriate because I just got some bacon and a bagel, but they have a lot.
Atkins.
They have a lot on their plate here, but maybe they'll.
if they decide to.
But,
they,
Greg, how do you buy the Celtics?
If they buy it, maybe they'll get rid of
somebody. They won't. They won't. That's the issue. That's why I want it to be local, and I want somebody that has a real interest in putting all of their focus. You know, obviously Rob Hale has a lot going on, but sports-wise, puts all their focus and heart into one team.
Do you really believe whoever buys it? See, I think here's the difference. Do you really believe whoever buys it and spends $5 billion on it is not going to be focused on it? They're going to, whoever buys it.
Well, they're going to be focused on it.
If it's Bezos.
If it's going to be their baby. Because you're spending $5 billion. It's not like you're spending, you know, $500 just to say, all right, you know, it's not like just an investment.
Not to get too in the weeds here. They're spending $2.5 billion because they're selling half the team. So you're buying 50%.
Yeah, but they're going to sell the whole team. Wick has already said that. What do you mean they're only buying half the
team? Well, so Steve Pagliuca has 20%.
Right.
Rob Hale already has something like 20%. So even if Rob Hale's buying it, he's spending 80% of $5 billion.
No. If he buys it, but I'm saying anybody who comes in that's not part of the investment group is spending $5 billion, and they're not just spending that type of money to be like, yeah, you know what? I'm not really invested in it.
I just think if John Henry buys the team and is okay with spending way over the luxury tax on the Celtics, Red Sox fans are like, what the hell are you doing here?
Mm. Yeah.
Why do you all of a sudden support spending over a tax when you're saying you have to get under it in baseball?
No, but I think you are right. Your original question about Nuggets is answered by if Sam Kennedy was if that group was not interested, I think they would have just said that yesterday.
Yep. Right.
I would think. So
like they did originally.
Yes, like they did originally.
It's too good of an investment. So,
yeah.
Right, like the mayor's office did about the report from the Herald about the meeting with Jaron Duran, saying it had totally and completely false.
We were going to get to the news, but I think we're have to get to the news a little bit later.
Okay.
If that's okay with you.
That's great.
Okay.
There's some food news that I think you'll find very interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Two brands coming together for a limited time drop.
Am I going to like it?
I think you like both of these brands individually, so I think you'll be intrigued by them coming together.
Okay. All right, so we'll get to that a little bit later.
Yeah.
It's edible,
yep.
But is it in a food form or is it not?
Food form and liquid.
Food form and liquid. All right. So we'll get to that. We're going to get to, I see that Ray Bourque has arrived. We're going to get to Ray in just about 10 minutes. The great Ray Bourque joining us here at Fenway. Let's get to Courtney and to what is trending right this moment.
Ray Bourque joins the Greg Hill Show this morning at 8:30. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Sox 2-for-2 after taking down the Rangers again last night. 9-4 was the final at Fenway. Cutter Crawford went 5 1/3, giving up 4 runs on 3 hits while striking out 4. Last one with the Rangers tonight, 7:10 first pitch with Tanner Houck getting the start. You can hang out with Joe Weil at 6:10 for the MassMutual pregame show. Then Joe Castiglione and Sean McDonough have the call on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network right here on EEI and as always on the Odyssey app. Alex Cora talked about Crawford's start last night. Here's that.
I throw the ball well, extremely well. Good four-seamer. The sweeper was good and gave us a chance to win. I think the four-seamer played better than the last three or four. Command was a lot better. He was on the attack, very efficient. Gave us a chance to win the game.
That was from last night's Red Sox-Nissan postgame show. Hurry in. Epic offers are going fast at the Nissan Thrill of Summer sales event. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com today. In an update on the report that Mayor Wu requested a meeting with Jaron Duran after his 2-game suspension for a homophobic slur, according to the Patriots Ledger, her press office responded to questions saying, "Thanks for reaching out about this to confirm. We don't think the reporter had a real source because that information was completely made up."
Unbelievable.
Patriots joint press.
I mean, so the report came from the Herald.
Gabriel Starr, who covers the Red Sox for the Boston Herald, tweeted it.
Said that Mayor Wu is requesting a meeting with the Red Sox about Jaron Duran. And it was completely false information.
The office is saying it is completely false.
Okay.
So, and I'm sorry, but the Boston Herald should issue a correction.
Yeah.
And the reporter, you can't just delete a tweet and then have the report go away. I mean, that was viral. That was a huge story.
It was a bad look on Man Woo.
Of course.
Now, I will say for some of us who are older, we don't know how to delete tweets.
That's fair.
Or we might accidentally delete a tweet.
Right.
Good point.
So or you do a butt dial while having lovemaking.
Right. Yes.
Patriots joint practice with the Eagles yesterday. Drake May started 9 of 9 before things fell off for him. But we did have some good news. Christian Barmore was there to take in practice. It's the first time media members saw him since being diagnosed with blood clots. Some bad news for the Vikings. J.J. McCarthy needs knee surgery after suffering a torn meniscus during Saturday's game. They will figure out how long he will be out and the severity of the torn meniscus after surgery. But Shime, he was looking pretty good for the Vikings, too.
Yeah, I mean, he looked great in that first game. Did have a tough interception, but then really bounced back. And I just think Kevin O'Connell's offense is going to be so supportive to quarterbacks. It's a bummer that he's going to be out for a little bit.
Yeah.
Look, they looked almost as good as Mac Jones did.
All right, Greg. Relax. He's third string behind C.J. Beathard.
Wow. Zero interceptions by my guy, Mac Jones.
Mac looks
playing
good.
Against guys who are going to be on the street next week.
Are you going to keep this island afloat with him down south?
He is.
I don't know.
It's down in Duval. Yeah.
Sometimes, Wiggy, all you need is a change of scenery.
Well, he's just going to need one more place
Duval.
For a change of
scenery. Oh, he needs one more change of scenery?
Well, in order to, like, really play, because they just signed Trevor Lawrence, so maybe he looks good in the preseason, and then somebody trades for him.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe the Patriots trade for him.
No
maybe the Vikings do.
There appears to be a lot, I mean, if you buy what is being said, a lot of trade interest in Matthew Judon.
Yes.
Would you?
1,000% yes.
You would?
Yeah.
Totally.
Would you?
All day long.
Yeah.
I mean, that's other than quarterback, that's probably the second most premium position is a high-level pass rusher that can affect the game.
I mean, I wouldn't trade him for like a sixth-round pick, but if you're getting a second or a third for him, absolutely.
Yeah. So get what you can. He's going to you think he's going to be frustrated all season, and it's the horses out of the barn, and there's no repairing the situation. Right.
The only thing I may say is if you get him into the fold and he has a good first half of the season, you might get more value at the deadline because he's coming off a year he was hurt.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
I might do that, but either way, I would absolutely listen to trades.
Well, that's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. It is beautiful in Boston. 70 degrees, afternoon high, a sunny 82.
$1.3 million, that's the number over that, 1.322667. So thank you for those of you who've already given. Thank you so much. If you haven't yet, then now is the time to call 877-738-1234. That's 877-738-1234. Every little bit helps. Doesn't matter if it's $10, $25, $50, whatever you can give. It will go to research and doctors and nurses and the most extraordinary patient care in the country and probably the world. So call now. We will be back with the great Ray Bork coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Well, joining us right now at Fenway Park, one of the all-time greatest defensemen ever to play in the NHL, a Hall of Famer, and an all-around good guy, Ray Bourque. Ray, how are you?
I'm great. Hey, man.
Thanks for being here.
Good to be here.
We were talking yesterday with Razor, with Andrew Raycroft, and he was talking about particularly the Christmas party and the Bruins guys going out every year and buying gifts for the kids. And I'm sure when you think back on things that you experienced here during your long tenured career with the Boston Bruins, that's one that you remember, is getting that opportunity to go and see those who are in the middle of this great fight against cancer.
Yeah, we always went out. Something that, you know, as you become a Bruin, we had certain events that we had to attend, and you learn earlier on that giving back and being part of the community was very important. And as years went on, you know, we were in hospitals, a lot of different children's hospital, Dana-Farber, all over the place, visiting little kids at times. And then, Christmas time was pretty special for us. I started collecting money from all the players at Christmas, and we actually went out literally buying gifts and going into hospitals and giving them to the kids that, you know, going through tough times at that time of the year, and going into homeless shelters and single moms and kids that weren't going to get gifts at Christmas. So that was pretty special, and it's still going on now with the Bruins at Christmas. Now it's sponsored by big companies, and they still go out, though. The players still go out and get the gifts and give them out. So, this community is amazing. All teams are a big part of it, and you learn pretty quick. This is a special place.
And that's one of the reasons, I'm sure, why you stayed here and why you didn't leave after your career was over.
Yeah, and I think a lot of guys that end up playing here for, you know, a certain amount of time end up living here and raising their kids here. And I got here 45 years ago. Last week was August 8th is the date I was drafted. 45 years ago, my buddy called me just to remind me. Because he was knocking on my door that morning. He was a big Bruins fan and so excited that the Bruins drafted me. And I was like, yeah, that went fast. pretty quick that I realized. I always thought when I was starting to play, you know, okay, I'd retire, I'd go back to Montreal. And my wife, both of us are from there. And, you know, once we retire, we'd go back there. But once you have kids and then they're in school and they're doing their thing here, and you realize how special this area is, New England. There's no way going back. And even when I went up to Colorado for about a year and a half, you know, there's no way that I wasn't coming back here to settle, and for all very special reasons. And something like this just tells you all about New England and what you guys do, WEI, now over 20 years of doing this and raising money and the Jimmy Fund, and how long, you know, it goes back to Ted Williams, where it all started with the Red Sox relationship with, you know, Dana-Farber and the Jimmy Fund. It's just an amazing place.
And Ray, you know, I grew up watching you. I always, the first most vivid memory when you first went to Colorado was you still had the Bruins shorts underneath the pads. I remember that vividly. But you gave back when you were here. You performed at the top of the game. You're one of the great defensemen in the history of the NHL, maybe the best. And yet you stop playing, and you are everywhere. At every charitable endeavor, you're either donating something, or you're there doing the raffle. Or what makes you, I mean, you've given a lot on the ice, more than most ever will, and now you're here 45 years later, getting up in the morning to hang out with us morons.
Let's be honest, Curtis. It's like me. It's about the free golf.
Well, you know where I'm going after this, right?
You playing today? Where are you playing today?
Oh, yeah, Salem Country Club.
Salem Country Club?
We're hosting people that are coming in from Florida that I winter in Florida, and we have a big event at our golf course that we auction off golf, like four dinners, three rounds of golf, and people got here last night. We had dinner last night. We're playing golf today. Another dinner tonight at my house. And we raised a ton of money for a children's hospital out there in the Fort Myers area.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we're doing that. But
Curtis also winters in Florida, or more correctly, his parents do.
Yeah,
right.
You hear that on the show.
You know, one day I'll get there.
You brought up being drafted. Did you care where you were going, or did it matter to you? Did you want to be drafted by a Canadian team, or did?
No, I, you know, growing up in Montreal and dreaming about playing for the Canadiens when I was a young kid, then you kind of get to a certain age and you kind of know that things are happening, you're going to get drafted, but ending up in Montreal probably wouldn't have been the best place. I think if you're going to play in your hometown, you want to start somewhere else, kind of establish yourself, know how things are done. Starting in your hometown, the pressure, I mean, I speak French and English. I would have to deal with that, you know.
Yeah.
Double interviews, yeah. Friends, family, and just making the lineup in Montreal back then. You know, a lot of guys were amazing players that had to start in the minors because how strong and deep they were in teams. So I was just so happy to go to a team, original six team that was established, rich in history, and had just lost to Montreal the year before in the semifinals, where I could have gone to Colorado, Minnesota, all these, and these teams sucked. So, you know, and they sucked for about 10 years. So you come to a place where all you got to do is do your job and have fun, and breaking in with guys like Jerry Retrievers and Jean Rattel and Brad Park, Terry Riley, you know, probably a handful of those guys had won cups in 70, 72.
Well, you brought up during the break John Wensink.
John Wensink, yes.
Did you buy his house?
Yes, because he told me to.
Because he told Was he?
Did he give you a deal?
$114,000, ended up selling it for $325,000. So it was pretty good.
Was he the toughest guy you ever played with?
He is just such a teddy bear. I mean, these guys, right, they're so tough on the ice, and they look so mean, and just amazing guys. But he played the part big time. Like, yeah. He looked like he was nuts, right?
Yeah.
The afro, the big hair, challenging Minnesota's bench to a fight. And, just classic stuff back then.
Yeah.
I mean, can we really sit here and give Ray his flowers? Because this is kind of like, I'm always like amazed. When people, we go out, we always see a lot of people, and there's a ton of Bruins fans. And, you know, I remember my days as a youngster playing hockey and being a defenseman. But when everybody talks about Ray Bourque,
yeah,
they talk about one of the greatest defensemen to ever put on a pair of skates. Even his peers and his teammates, whether we're talking with Milbury or we're just talking with – and so – the fact that, you know, I don't know him like that, but our paths are crossed. It's like, it's amazing to be able to sit with somebody when you think of what they were able to accomplish as a player. And I don't know if you ever thought about it when you were coming up. Like, the level of respect and just, and where you sit in the world of hockey It's like, I mean, you got to give this guy his flowers.
Wiggy is never impressed
Wiggy,
by anything.
I was this just, is, you know what? We've never crossed paths on the ice. Yeah. I was always hoping to run into Wiggy at Saugus at Twin Rinks there. Yeah. You went out a few times.
Yeah, I went out to Hockey Town.
I used to skate there Tuesday and Fridays with the guys, and we never really – and I don't care, you know, you're a Hall of Famer, you played college, you played high school, you played in the NFL. We all end up in Saugus.
Yeah. It is amazing, though. It's just, it's amazing. Growing up around it, it's amazing.
I could never have dreamt to have the career that I had. And, when I came in, I was just hoping if I could play 10, 12 years, I would thought, you know, that would have been a great career. And right out of the box, it was amazing. It was so much fun. Lived a dream. And never really stopped to really smell the flowers till mm-hmm. the day I retired. You know, right. You're told all these things while you're playing, and you realize how things are going, but you never want it to end. Till you know, once I retired, and I looked back and I said, "Wow, good job, Rick.
Good job, Rick.
Really,
not bad."
What's your guess at why Jeremy Swayman isn't signed yet?
Hey, that's how it goes, man. You know. I had negotiations where it came to the end, and it's really frustrating as a player.
Didn't they take you to arbitration?
Yeah,
like
they took
to
arbitration.
Every year?
I mean, how do you do that?
How do you take the greatest defenseman to ever play the game to arbitration every year
and try to
point out that you know he doesn't backtrack?
Right.
That's when things were kind of changing, where salaries became public, and they kind of exploded, and Harry just had a hard time, seeing that transition happening and money. He thought it was going to ruin the league, and look at it now. It's just flourishing and doing great. Sway's going to get his money. This is going to work out. You know, he's an amazing goalie, amazing kid, and we don't want him going anywhere, and it's going to get settled for sure. It just takes time, and Sway wants his money, and the Bruins want to save some money.
Swayman aside, what do you think about the state of the Bruins right now? Not the end of the season that we wanted, obviously, but what do you feel about Montgomery? How do you feel like they're gelling?
I love Montgomery. I think he's a great coach. He's the right coach for this team. I really like their two free agents that they signed. Is it Nazaroff and Lindholm?
Wiggy.
I probably got that name wrong. But
Elias Lindholm, I believe, is
Lindholm's a centerman.
Yes.
They need him bad. You know, losing Patrice and Krejci last year and really having the season that they had last year, I think they overachieve regular season. I don't think they were built for the playoffs. I think Lindholm and this big defenseman that people are going to love, he's a monster, and he just goes out there. He's an excellent player, but he'll run people out of the rink as well. And I know Bruins fans don't like that, but you better get used to it because they're going to see it. Two great signings. I think it's going to help their team. So I expect them to be better this year.
The great Sean McDonough is listening to the show right now and just sent me a text and said, we need to point out a couple things. Number one, you are unappreciated as a charity auctioneer. You've undertaken that role many times, and you've become very, very good at it.
So impressive.
Well, you saw me in action.
I saw you in action.
Your anniversary. Congratulations, guys. 5 years.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes.
Thank you.
And also points out that you are the leading defensive scorer in the history of the NHL. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And 12th all-time. 12th all-time in players in the NHL when it comes to points, both offense and defense.
That's
12th.
That's amazing.
12th all-time.
Think about that.
That's nuts. Yes.
And he's so far ahead of, like, a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's going to be a while. Yeah. Makar averages 80 points for 20 years, he'll get there.
They actually just redid your plaque at the Hall of Fame. It just says he's so far ahead of a lot of people.
I don't know how much time we have. I always ask players this.
Much as you want, Wiggy.
No, I always love to tap
my
in.
Tea time's at 11.
Oh, sorry about that.
Tomorrow, I hope.
I like seeing Wiggy, like, starstruck.
I know.
It's nice.
He's like lunch at Twin Peaks.
No. Like, there are, like, a few people that I would love to sit down. Obviously, Larry Bird. But having the opportunity to meet you and sit down a bunch of times, and I always ask guys of your caliber, how do you view the game now versus like when you played? Like, do you like it? Are there things that you would change? Like, you know, I always want to tap into the mind of, like, great players and how they look.
I just figured this out. This is a giant end around to get a free dinner at Tresca.
Hey, it's about time you mentioned Tresca, all right? You.
It's a great
You talk about the North End.
I love Tresca.
And sometimes you jump over Tresca. What's up with that?
I don't know.
Man?
I mean, I give everybody love. I do. I'll tell you what I love is the – it's fall, and you have the pumpkin ravioli
dish. Oh, my God, no. Yeah.
Served in the
– It's amazing. It's served in a pumpkin, baby pumpkin. It's amazing.
It's so good.
Dish.
But, yeah, what do you think of today's game?
I think it's awesome. I would have loved to play it in today's game. When I played, you know, we had the red line. I would love to play without the red line and just throw some bombs to, you know, Cam just out there or Adam Oates or just these guys flying down. And the rules. You know, we used to have hooking, clutching, grabbing. I don't know how many times I'd make a pass coming around the net, whatever, beat two guys with the pass. Then you're jumping in to make it an out-man situation. All of a sudden, the guy would give you this big hook, and you just want to turn around and slash him, like, so hard, and there's no calls. And so offensively, it would have been way more fun to play in today's game. Defensively, it's a lot tougher because mm-hmm. you can't clutch and grab.
Yeah.
You can't hook. You can't do those things. But being able to skate, I think I would have done all right. But I love the game. I think the players, just up and down lineups. I mean, the skill and the speed of these players is just amazing, and I just love watching the game today.
Well, I know you brought a little donation, which
yes.
We appreciate.
Yeah, we Bork Family Foundation. That you know, we do great things. We'd like to donate $10,000.
Oh my God!
Oh my God, that's Jim awesome, Fun. Ray!
Wow!
Thank you.
All right, thank you very
awesome.
Much.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Round of applause for the great Ray Bork. And you guys have the captain's ball coming up.
Yeah, we have, you know, we've teamed up with Nancy Frady and John, and after Pete's passing, we had created the ball. My wife said, can we have something that has nothing to do with sports and get all dressed up and dolled up and all that, have fun? I said, yes, we created the ball. Pre-COVID, we canceled three times because of COVID. Then during that time, Pete passed, and we don't really lock into one specific cause up until Pete's passing, and our ball is strictly for ALS research. That's out of the Healy Center, out of Mass General, and the Pete Frady's Family Foundation that gives grants out to families affected with ALS. So it's September 19th. You go to BorkFamilyFoundation.org, learn all about it. It's at Sawa, Sawa?
Yes.
Sawa. Oh, yeah.
We
the power station.
Yeah.
It's awesome
and,
over
it,
the South.
It holds... could hold like 1,500 people, and yeah. The more the merrier. I promise you an amazing time. And
it was awesome last year, yeah, and I'm sure it'll be even better this year.
Yeah,
so.
It's something I really want to grow into something special every year. So with Nancy's networking and ours and the Frady's and teaming up like that, it's just it's been fun. It's been great, and it's such a, I mean, like the Jimmy Fund and this today, you know, ALS is just awful.
We appreciate what you do. What are you looking to card today at Salem?
If I could shoot 77.
All right.
Awesome. You'd be happy with that? 77?
I don't get there that often, but okay. I strive for that every right. time I go all out. Right. They give me card 77.
Yeah.
Kids get a good tip.
Yeah.
And I, yeah. every once in a while, I'll shoot it.
Yeah, Shyam shot that in the front at the Numbnuts
invitation. I was hoping to meet him. He talks about golf all the time.
Yeah, yeah. We should go play. You want to play with Shyam? Me, you, and Shyam?
Salem Country Club.
Shyam, you want to go to Salem and we'll play with Ray?
I would be honored.
Okay. Can I do that instead of dinner that I owe you?
That's fine. Yep. This is that. I'll take it.
Okay. All right. So me, you, and Shyam.
Let's do it.
We'll go play it.
Biggie, do you play golf?
No. I stink.
Chris? Yeah, I'll play.
All right, Chris? Yeah. Courtney?
I would love to.
I'll definitely come, but I stink. Hey,
right. He'll just be in your cart talking the whole time. I hope you're okay with that.
Just talking hockey.
We'll have to put two foursomes together.
All right. Yeah, love let's it. Do it. We'll do it before the end of the summer.
Plan.
Ray Bork, you're the best. You've always been great to us.
Unbelievable.
Great to the show. Great to the show.
Put the good work, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. That is Ray Bork. We take a quick break, Ken? Or should we want to? No? Is that okay? We'll take a quick break. It is day number two of
live watching Ken manage.
He's great at it. Generally, he defers to somebody else
right.
on important
well,
questions.
Well, he looks to you, which
he made
is
weird. He made this decision himself. We are going to take a quick break. It is day number two of the WEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon at Fenway Park. We'll be right back.
There is a $775,000 match hanging out there for this show, and we have a little over an hour left to get there. And we've reached the $1.4 million mark, so we are now officially over $1.4 million that you have donated so far to this year's WEEI Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. While we are here at Fenway Park, that number right now exactly is $1,455,135. And thank you to those of you who have given. If you haven't given yet, we have, I don't know, what do we have an official number, Ken, that we have to get in the next hour?
104,000.
That's it?
Yep.
Okay, so we got to get $104,000 by 10 a.m., by the end of the show.
Yep, that's me working.
Like big guns.
That's me working for Ken.
Okay, and you did you put the 10 grand in from Ray Bork?
No.
You haven't put that in?
I have an IOU.
By the way, Ray on the way, I don't know if I can do this, but I sometimes don't care. Ray kindly offered to take Shime and Curtis and Courtney and the rest of us golfing at Salem. And he said he would do two foursomes. On the way out, he said, why don't you auction off the three spots in the other foursome? Since there will be five of us. Can we do that? Oh, Ken, can you stop cringing like...
it's poor Ken. They got to talk to the lawyers.
How you do it.
Legal.
How you do it. To make this clear.
Yeah. Poor Ken, he's like...
I mean, you think Sharon Stone is doing an auction and she says, I'll kiss somebody for $100 million and somebody goes, no, you can't do that. All right,
who's Sharon Stone in this?
All right, so just call, and the number is 617-779-7937. Three spots available. You can either take, we'll bid per spot. So that's the way we'll do it, and you'll golf with the great Ray Bork. Number 12 all-time in scoring, which is
that's
absolutely
amazing.
Extraordinary.
Amazing.
As a defenseman. With us right now, the chief clinical officer and the co-director of Colon and Rectal Cancer Center at Dana-Farber. It is Dr. Jeffrey Meyerhart. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking a lot about that particular form of cancer and the increase when it comes to diagnosis in young people. I know you guys are looking at it carefully, but are not sure why it's happening.
Yeah, it's really unclear. So colorectal cancer, overall the incidence, people over age 50 has actually gone down because we've done much better screening people and catching disease earlier and improving mortality. But in people who are under age 50, it's increasing about 1% to 2% per year.
Wow.
So the vast majority of people are still over 50 in their 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Yeah.
But it's an increasing number of people we're seeing in even their 20s and 30s and 40s. We knew of genetic reasons that people get, there's some syndromes people can get that they can inherit, but that's still a small percentage. The vast majority of people don't have a family history, or maybe have one family member distant that had colorectal cancer, and it's scary. We just don't know what's causing that. There's some theories of things that could be related, but the exact reason and how best to treat is unclear still.
And when you think about these dollars that are given every year and have been given for 22 years, they are so important when it comes to being able to shift and kind of focus on that research wise and treatment wise.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those dollars have helped us try to collect data on these patients, particularly if we talk specifically about early onset colorectal cancer. We've been able to create a center specific at Dana-Farber that both has a research purpose to try to collect data about patients, do studies specific to patients under age 50, as well as enhance their clinical care because they have different issues that are related to when they're first diagnosed. They either don't have or just recently getting married or have a partner or recently have kids or starting new jobs, and all those issues are different necessarily than someone who has a more established in their career or family or other issues.
Doc, one of the things that I've kind of learned through the journey of this is that it affects black men more than any other race. And my question is, I kind of fall into the category where now I always go and get a colonoscopy because I'm almost 50. But sometimes it's a hereditary, correct? So what happens, like, if you don't. Like, in my case, I didn't know my dad, so I don't know his medical history. Like, how do people like myself that might not know their father's medical history or just might not know all the ins and outs, what's the best thing for, especially black men, for them to do to try to, like you said, get ahead of it before anything serious happens?
Yeah, so I think there's a few things. One is just to pay attention to symptoms, mm-hmm. right? And if we take specifically colorectal cancer, you know, people will have like a little bit of bleeding or some change in bowel habits. And for the vast majority of patients, it's not going to be related to cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But not to ignore those symptoms, to bring them up your primary care doc. And if they're persistent, to persist to say, you know, can we do something to look into why that's happening? We have decreased the recommendation now is decreasing the age of screening to age 45 instead of 50. Whether it should go farther down or are there other screening techniques to be easier to be able to screen people, particularly if they don't know their family history or other factors that may lead, that we know is relatively higher risk, that may lead to start earlier in those patients. And those are still, you know, a lot of research we're doing. The Dana-Farber recently started what we call an early intercept and detection center to try to specifically look at ways to screen for both colorectal as well as a whole host of other cancers earlier, less invasive, to be able to sense who might pay a higher risk to do then a further workup if something's found.
And doctor, for the people listening, how does the money raised through events like this impact personalized care for people that are suffering from this form of cancer?
Yeah, I mean, they're really critical. So, you know, what we learned is, again, if we take the example of colorectal, but we could do this in any cancer, it's not one disease. So there, we know that cancer is some normal cell that something went wrong, and that has certain changes in it, and we now know how to look at those changes molecularly. But then the critical thing is finding specific drugs for those specific changes. So there's been a lot of work in lung cancer, specifically for mutations called KRAS or ALK and things like that. But for a lot of cancers, we don't have that. And really to be able to use these dollars for the research, to start in the lab, to understand what are those differences, to then help partner with either industry or other partners to create potential targets, drugs for those, and then to test those drugs in patients.
You've been at Dana-Farber since 2002. So for you, how much have you seen change over your time there? And because the Jimmy Fund is helping make those changes.
Yeah, no, a lot. So, you know, in a lot of the diseases, I treat only adult cancers. I treat all types of GI cancers. And for most of them, we've had really a large expanse of additional drugs that are able to keep patients living their lives, living with cancer, somewhat changing the survival rate, improving the survival rate. Immunotherapy didn't even exist up till about 10 years ago and has really made a difference in a lot of patients. Specific targeted drugs also didn't exist when I first started. So there's been a lot of additional drugs, a lot of FDA approvals, which Dana-Farber has really been part of. We quote usually about 50% of drugs that have been FDA approved in the last several years. We've had some key role in either the science behind them or participating in the clinical trials or taking key roles in those trials.
Holy cow, half of the FDA-approved drugs to treat cancer have either originated or been in part because of the research at the Dana-Farber.
Yep, over the last several years.
Unbelievable. Cow.
Well, Dr. Meyerhart, thank you. Thanks for what you do, and thanks for sharing a little bit about it today.
Thanks for doing this. This is great. Thank you.
All right. Well, that's what we're doing. Jeez. Is we're...
Think of how many cancer centers there are. Half.
Yeah. Half.
That's like the Yankees in the 20s.
Yeah, and that's why these dollars that you give
every
single year are so important. So we have an hour to go, and we got to get over $100,000 this last hour.
We can do it.
We are at Fenway Park, and we will be right back. There is a $775,000 match hanging out there for this show, and we have a little over an hour left to get there. And we've reached the $1.4 million mark, so we are now officially over $1.4 million that you have donated so far to this year's WEEI Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. While we are here at Fenway Park, that number right now exactly is $1,455,135. And thank you to those of you who have given. If you haven't given yet, we have, I don't know, what do we have an official number, Ken, that we have to get in the next hour?
104,000.
That's it?
Yep.
Okay, so we got to get $104,000 by 10 a.m., by the end of the show.
Yep, that's me working.
Big guns.
That's me working for Ken.
Okay, and you did you put the 10 grand in from Ray Bork?
No, and
you haven't put that in?
I have an IOU.
By the way, Ray on the way, I don't know if I can do this, but I sometimes don't care. Ray kindly offered to take Shime and Curtis and Courtney and the rest of us golfing at Salem. And he said he would do two foursomes. On the way out, he said, why don't you auction off the three spots in the other foursome? Since there will be five of us. Should we do? Can we do that? Oh, Ken, look at Ken. Can you stop cringing like...
It's they got to talk to the lawyers.
How you do it?
Legal.
How you do it? To make this clear?
Yeah. I mean,
you think Sharon Stone is doing an auction and she says, I'll kiss somebody for $100 million and somebody goes, no, you can't do that. All right,
who's Sharon Stone in this?
All right, so just call, and the number is 617-779-7937. Three spots available. You can either take, we'll bid per spot. So that's the way we'll do it, and you'll golf with the great Ray Bork. Number 12 all-time in scoring, which is
absolutely
extraordinary.
Amazing.
As a defenseman. With us right now, the chief clinical officer and the co-director of the Colon and Rectal Cancer Center at Dana-Farber. It is Dr. Jeffrey Meyerhart. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking a lot about that particular form of cancer and the increase when it comes to diagnosis in young people. I know you guys are looking at it carefully, but are not sure why it's happening.
Yeah, it's really unclear. So colorectal cancer, overall the incidence, people over age 50 has actually gone down because we've done much better screening people and catching disease earlier and improving mortality. But in people who are under age 50, it's increasing about 1% to 2% per year.
Wow.
So the vast majority of people are still over 50 in their 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Yeah.
But it's an increasing number of people we're seeing in even their 20s and 30s and 40s. We knew of genetic reasons that people get. There's some syndromes people can get that they can inherit, but that's still a small percent, as the vast majority of people don't have a family history, or maybe have one family member distant that had colorectal cancer, and it's scary. We just don't know what's causing that. There's some theories of things that could be related, but the exact reason and how best to treat is unclear still.
And when, you think about these dollars that are given every year and have been given for 22 years, they are so important when it comes to being able to shift and kind of focus on that research-wise and treatment-wise.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those dollars have helped us try to collect data on these patients, particularly if we talk specifically about early onset colorectal cancer. We've been able to create a center specific at Dana-Farber that both has a research purpose to try to collect data about patients, do studies specific to patients under age 50, as well as enhance their clinical care, because they have different issues that are related to when they're first diagnosed. They either don't have or just recently getting married or have a partner or recently have kids or starting new jobs, and all those issues are different necessarily than someone who has a more established in their career or family or other issues.
Doc, one of the things that I've kind of learned through the journey of this is that it affects black men more than any other race. And my question is, I kind of fall into the category where now I always go and get a colonoscopy because I'm almost 50. But sometimes it's a hereditary, correct? So what happens, like, if you don't, like, in my case, I didn't know my dad, so I don't know his medical history. Like, how do people like myself that might not know their father's medical history or just might not know all the ins and outs, what's the best thing for, especially black men, for them to do to try to, like you said, get ahead of it before anything serious happens?
Yeah, so I think there's a few things. One is just to pay attention to symptoms,
mm-hmm.
right? And if we take specifically colorectal cancer, you know, people will have like a little bit of bleeding or some change in bowel habits. And for the vast majority of patients, it's not going to be related to cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But not to ignore those symptoms, to bring them up your primary care doc. And if they're persistent, to persist to say, you know, can we do something to look into why that's happening? We have decreased the recommendation now is decreasing the age of screening to age 45 instead of 50. Whether it should go farther down or are there other screening techniques to be easier to be able to screen people, particularly if they don't know their family history or other factors that may lead, that we know is relatively higher risk that may lead to start earlier in those patients. And those are still, you know, a lot of research we're doing. The Dana-Farber recently started what we call an early intercept and detection center to try to specifically look at ways to screen for both colorectal as well as a whole host of other cancers earlier, less invasive, to be able to sense who might pay a higher risk to do then a further workup if something's found.
And doctor, for the people listening, how does the money raised through events like this impact personalized care for people that are suffering from this form of cancer?
Yeah, I mean, they're really critical. So, you know, what we learned is, again, if we take the example of colorectal, but we could do this in any cancer, it's not one disease. So there, we know that cancer is some normal cell that something went wrong, and that has certain changes in it, and we now know how to look at those changes molecularly. But then the critical thing is finding specific drugs for those specific changes. So there's been a lot of work in lung cancer specifically for mutations called KRAS or ALK and things like that. But for a lot of cancers, we don't have that. And really to be able to use these dollars for the research to start in the lab, to understand what are those differences, to then help partner with either industry or other partners to create potential targets, drugs for those, and then to test those drugs in patients.
You've been at Dana-Farber since 2002. So for you, how much have you seen change over your time there? And because the Jimmy Fund is helping make those changes.
Yeah, no, a lot. So, you know, in a lot of the diseases, I treat only adult cancers. I treat all types of GI cancers. And for most of them, we've had really a large expanse of additional drugs that are able to keep patients living their lives, living with cancer, somewhat changing the survival rate, improving the survival rate. Immunotherapy didn't even exist up till about 10 years ago and has really made a difference in a lot of patients. Specific targeted drugs also didn't exist when I first started. So there's been a lot of additional drugs, a lot of FDA approvals, which Dana-Farber has really been part of. We quote usually about 50% of drugs that have been FDA approved in the last several years. We've had some key role in either the science behind them or participating in the clinical trials or taking key roles in those trials.
Holy cow, half of the FDA-approved drugs to treat cancer have either originated or been in part because of the research at the Dana-Farber.
Yep, over the last several years.
Unbelievable. Cow.
Well, Dr. Meyerhart, thank you. Thanks for what you do, and thanks for sharing a little bit about it today.
Thanks for doing this. This is great. Thank you.
All right. Well, that's what we're doing. Jeez. Is we're...
Think of how many cancer centers there are. Half.
Yeah. Half.
That's like the Yankees in the 20s.
Yeah, and that's why these dollars that you give every single year are so important. So we have an hour to go, and we got to get over $100,000 this last hour.
We can do it.
We are at Fenway Park, and we will be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.